Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God, the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, the presence of our God and Father, knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You also become imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, that you became an example to all the believers of Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves report about us what kind of reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Amen. This is really a very short chapter, but the first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, there were two of them, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, you may be aware of, and this particular one was written during Paul's the church was started during Paul's second missionary journey. And if you go into the book of Acts, and Luke writes in Acts 17, which kind of shares the journey of what happened here. And so the response, and Paul's writing this, and basically what happens is that there's a tremendous amount of persecution in the churches in this area. They're being persecuted by the pagans that are persecuting them because they're turning their life over from idolatry to the Lord. And they're also being persecuted by Jews that... the Acts we'll talk in more depth about. And so they come to this place and they plant a church. And so Paul is so moved by the church in this way that he actually sends Timothy. And he flees to Athens. And as he flees from the Jews that are trying to kill him, he sends Timothy to encourage the church in Thessalonica of all the persecution and things that are happening. Timothy meets Paul back and in Corinth, and he basically tells him the report that, hey, the gospel that we preached when we started, it was great blessing. They received the gospel powerfully. They really grabbed a hold of it. In other words, the gospel came into good soil. And so then you have chapter 1, where he says what Paul says. And he's so filled with joy. He's so filled with so much love for this church in Thessalonica that, you know, the message they gave, especially in the midst of persecution, they received it very well. So he recalls the warm reception the believers gave the gospel. And then he begins to tempt them, or he begins to share with them about some temptations that are coming their way. So part of this is exhortation, and part of it is actually just very good sound theology that actually comes from the exhortation. And he's aware of the temptations of them living in a pagan culture, and so he warns them about the menace of sexual immorality and also about the dangers of strife and dissension. So these are his two main points of exhortation that he brings to the church. He understands culturally what they're going to go through. I mean, this outside of the persecution that's already happening. Sexual immorality is going to hit you as well as dissension is going to hit you. He also begins to share, and one of his thoughts in this text is that he was teaching about the return of Christ, and the response to this teaching brought forward two specific problems. The first problem was the lack of industry in the believers because of his imminent coming. And we see this a lot. When you see false prophets and people say, oh, Jesus is coming back on this day, what do? They quit their job. They, you know, basically get themselves out of society. They go live in a mountain somewhere. I mean, they do really crazy things, but basically they lack industry. And Paul is coming against that. He says, yeah, Jesus is coming soon, but doesn't mean you're going to check out. Right? You still remain fervent. You still continue to go forward. And then the other part, too, is there was this fear that people that died before Christ will not participate in the glory of his imminent return. And so Paul addresses, and it's really more of an eschatological issue about what exactly happens to those who are dead in Christ. And actually, in First and a little bit in Second Thessalonians, we have a real picture of what happens in the end times. And probably outside of the book of Revelation, a very clear understanding. And Paul is doing that to address these certain issues. Some of the scholars say that the importance of Thessalonians is, one, is that what I just talked about. And Paul gives us a very clear picture of what happens to those who died in Christ, and even before Christ, and gives us a picture of what it means later on. Actually, in 2 Thessalonians, he'll talk about the evil, the enemy, and how that's manifested. And so we don't really get that anywhere else in the epistles or the Gospels. But this epistle, and this is considered one of the pastoral epistles, this epistle really gives us a glimpse of the uncomplicated primitive church. There's no politics going on. It's not a complex organization. The believers had a common faith, a common love, and a common hope. Unofficial leadership began to rise up during this time, but yet they were still dependent on the apostolic circle. And so we see a very simple church that's kind of really laid out for us. And in the most case, church should be very simple, right? We have a head as God. God has ordained and blessed leaders to lead and people follow. As simple as it should get. If we make it too complicated, then we lose the essence of the ecclesia, or it should be. Part of this, too, is that Paul, this is probably one of the epistles that's most self-descriptive of Paul himself. And if you look through, and we'll touch more on tomorrow, tomorrow on Saturday, is he compares himself to a tender nursing mother. That's verse 7 in chapter 2. And then he compares himself to a firm father. And then he compares himself to a homeless orphan. And he's basically bearing his soul to this church in Thessalonica. And the reality is, he's really proud of this church. He's you could feel that in the first chapter that we just read. New church, new leaders, difficult times, but they receive the gospel with joy and continue forward in that. So let's go through chapter 1 a little bit and get to the other parts. And so he sends his very simple greeting, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, and God the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks. Actually, this whole part here is really dealing with the report, again, that Timothy brought back to Paul at Corinth, and it was just so filled with joy. But Paul is still very concerned for them, so he actually dispatches Timothy again. You can read that in chapter 3, the first couple of verses. It talks about that. And he's just so pleased. Verse 5, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of man we proved to be among you for your sake. And so he's talking about this gospel. We talked about it last time when we studied Colossians as well. Right? The gospel is not just word, it's deed. It's not just things that we say, it's things that we do. The gospel is powerful. It has the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what really separated Jesus from all other teachers. Remember, he was the rabbi. And this is what was so intriguing about Jesus compared to every other Bible teacher they had. He came in proclamation, then he also came in demonstration. When Jesus began to move and work and act amongst the people, he spoke it, he shared it, and then he did it. And he'll say things like, he is the light of the world, and then he'd open up someone's blind eyes, to testify to that fact. It was word and deed, proclamation, demonstration. And you got to make sure that you have this inside of you, right? The gospel is not just an intellectual exercise. It is that, but it's also power. Our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. God wants to empower your words. He wants to empower your life. That it's not just proclaiming, but it's also demonstrating. And this really was the power of Jesus, that whatever he said, he demonstrated. And whatever he did, you know, he made sure that people recognize exactly what he did or what he said through the action. And I'm not just talking about action in terms of just being good. I'm not just talking about action in the sense of we just are very nice people. I mean, we should be all those things. But being nice and being good never changes anyone. I mean, let's be very, very clear about this. Right? Being nice and being good, anyone can be nice and good. Mormons are nicer and gooder. I don't know if that's a word, but they're nicer than Christians are. That doesn't mean anything. It doesn't change anyone. You can't be just good. That's not the point. And so it makes it very clear, it's not only in word, but it's also in power in the Holy Spirit. And told them, become imitators of me. And you receive the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Right? You could have a lot of tribulation. You could have a lot of problems. But God will overmatch whatever problem you have with the joy of the Holy Spirit. This is the good news. And he says, your faith, the word of God that you received has gone forth from you. You guys are famous in essence. And then verse 9, I'm going to spend a little time talking about this. For they themselves report about us what kind of reception we had with you and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God. The God we serve is not dead. He is a living and true God. The Bible talks about, when we talk about a living and true God, it touches on this aspect of personality. God is a living God. He has emotions like we do. He has a personality like we do. He's one who possesses self-consciousness. He possesses self-determination. You know, and his personality is shown, I'll just give you a few examples. The Bible tells us that God loves. We know this, John 3:16. We also know that God hates. He tells us in Proverbs 6, he says, there are six things that I hate. We're also taught in 1 Peter that God cares. And then Genesis 6, we're taught that God grieves. Right? Only a personality can hate, love, grieve, care for. And so we recognize he must be a living, eternal, and personal being. This is how you turn to God from idols to serve a living and true God. God has a personality. God cares deeply, deeply cares for us. That's why when we're going through different situations in our life, we can run into the arms of the Lord. Because he has a deep, deep care and concern for us. You know, we can feel, I mean, you can feel God's love over our lives. It's one of the greatest gifts of God that he gives to human beings. The ability to receive and feel his affection for us. Because God loves us. He cares for us. There are also things that God hates as well. And you need to be aware of that. You know, there are things that are detestable to the Lord. There are things that really, really anger him in many ways. And then there are also things that make him very, very sad. Sin, when we commit sin, makes him very, very sad. When we walk in rebellion, it makes him very, very sad. It grieves him in his heart. He's a true and living God. I don't want you to look at God as some stoic, you know, almighty Teflon figure. I mean, he is beyond our emotions, yeah, that's for sure. But he is also an emotional being. I mean, it's as crazy as that might sound. Right? He has a personality. And we ought to be aware of that. Remember, it's a true and living God. And so then he closes and says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. And then he'll touch base on that a little bit later on. All right, so let's close our eyes today. In a short, short chapter. And just a couple points of prayer, maybe as the Lord is leading you to. One is that, are you proclaiming and also demonstrating the gospel? Are you one that does both? That you proclaim, you share, but also you demonstrate power by the Holy Spirit. And it's not just about being nice, it's about taking some risks. The other side of that too is, are you, when you look at God, is your focal point a personal God? Or is he just some kind of supreme being that is stoic and far away from us? He is the living and true God. And he wants to have a relationship with you through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Vane leads us in a song. I want to encourage you to go before the Lord and just talk to him about what God is stirring in your heart this morning.
If ever I was lost, you said that. you show me through the cross. Worship. I worship you, my God. I worship you.
Let's pray this morning. If there's anything going on in your life right now, let's come before this personal God. If your heart is troubled, let's come before this God who cares and loves for you, loves you so much. If you're in disobedience, rebellion, let's come before this angry God that very much hates what's going on. But it also covers you with His love to bring you out of that place. Let's spend some time and let's go before this true and living God and take care of our business. Let's pray for our friends, the family members that are going through difficult situations with their health. Let's pray for those that are dealing with cancer and going through chemotherapy that are in need of transplants. And let's continue to go before the Lord and ask God to release that healing word over their lives, bring encouragement to them that they will continue to be strong in the midst of this physical persecution. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for others that are ill, but more than that, that need that word of salvation. Let's pray for two things in their lives, that they would come to Jesus and give their heart to the Lord, and also pray that they would be healed. Let's lift them up. Pray for others that are ill in our community. Let's ask God's healing word to come over them. All different kinds of illnesses and conditions, body parts. Let's pray for a healing word to come. Pray for our community and in seeking for work. Let's ask God's hand to be with them and the grace be over them. And especially as interviews and meetings are going on, let's pray for wisdom to share a real heart that God would just release to them. And give them favor with employers and interviews and people. Let's just lift up. Let's put our mission in prayer focus, and let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for local ministries and local churches here. Ask God's hand to just continue to be spread over, you know, the Cantonese speaking, English speaking, other minority speaking churches. Let's pray for God's wisdom would be the leaders. Let's pray for YWAM Hong Kong. Pray for Sports Services International, Shanty Ministries, Masters of Beauty, Red Light District Outreach. Pray for Face to Face and Xingxin College, Feed the Hungry and CSW. Pray for our friends that are ministering in these places. Pray for anointing. Pray for provision. Ask God to just meet every one of their needs so they could effectively minister here in Hong Kong. Let's pray. Thank you. pray for our church ministries. Let's pray for our worship teams, and particularly pray for our three leaders, for Monica, Pastor Nate, and John Moon. Pray the Lord would just continue to meet with them, and they would be, Pastor Ong said, not musicians, but psalmists, and that they will lead us into His presence. Let's pray for our AV team as well, and just cover our equipment and make sure that it works for the glory of God, and our hospitality ministry and the barista as they welcome people, as they love on people. Let's pray for real grace over them, and that God would really continue to add to their number. And let's just pray for our leaders and all of our servants serving these ministries. So pray for God's hand to be with them. Pray for this weekend. Lauren is here. He had a whole day yesterday to rest, and it's gonna be powerful. Just having spent some time with him already, I just really sense God's gonna really do some amazing things. So let's pray. He has a really, really bad knee, and it's affecting him quite a bit. And so let's pray that God would just heal him, and that he would speak forth the message of God that God's put on his heart, and that we'd really receive. And there's a bunch of meetings tomorrow with different groups, people. Let's pray that God's purposes will be done through this weekend, and that it will be a blessing to us and be a blessing to Lauren as well. And so let's just lift up this weekend before the Lord. This weekend, because I love the EMP crowd. He brought 5 books with him, and he's going to sell them. I'd get here early, and I'd buy the books, and actually really, really incredible prices. And so get here on time and buy those. And then let's pray from Canal Church, and let's ask God's hand to be with them. And as we go forth, I don't even know if they're having House Church tonight. Anyone in McCain House Church here? Okay, let's pray. Either they're here at Lauren Cunningham, or they're at their house church. Pray God's hand be with them. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for the encouragement of your scriptures, Lord, that we, God, have the ability to bring you joy. We have the ability to make your heart glad, to put a smile on your face, Lord. We pray, God, that you would help us today to do that, Lord, in the abundance of your personality, God, in the abundance of your greatness, Lord. We humble ourselves, we bow down, God, and we serve, and we love, and we give. Lord, not wanting anything in return, Lord, but just simply, God, to bring you joy. And so help us, Lord. Help us to recognize, God, you're just not a stoic being, God, that looks over us, Lord. but you're a loving, compassionate God who cares for your people. We want to align ourselves, God, with you. So bless us today, God, as we seek to bless you, to lift up your Son, Jesus, and to be a blessing to others. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.